If you have your Bibles, open them to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 3. It reads like this: You have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. I don't know if you have this scripture highlighted in your Bible or not, but I would suggest that you highlight it, underline it, put a bookmarker right there, dog-ear the corner of the page, because I want you to remember this verse of scripture. You have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn northward. Walk away from it. There are some mountains that will not ever be moved out of your way. There are some mountains, some problems that you have to just walk away from. Turn north. North is always up. Turn upward. In a previous lesson, I mentioned the fact that these words that Moses was speaking was the last words and testimony of a disappointed man. And I know some would ask me, how do I know that Moses was disappointed? Well, if you'll turn over to the next chapter, chapter 3, starting at verse 23, it reads like this: And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to your works and according to your mights? And then listen to this sad plea from a disappointed man. In verse 25, Moses said to God, I pray thee, let me go over and see the land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me about this matter. What happened that caused God to rebuke Moses so severely? Well, you'll find the answer in Numbers chapter 20. When the people of Israel come to a place and there was no water to drink, God told Moses, Take the rod, gather the assembly together, you and Aaron, and speak unto the rock before their eyes. What was Moses told to do the first time in Exodus chapter 17? He was told to smite the rock, a picture of Jesus Christ and him crucified. What was he told to do here in Numbers chapter 20? He was told to speak to the rock, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead, ascended to the Father, and who, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, whose body will never again be broken, whose blood will never again be shed. Speak to the rock, and it shall give forth his water, and you shall bring forth to them out of the rock. Did you notice that pronoun, his, as recorded in Numbers 20, in verse 8? God says the rock would give forth his water. Paul says they all drank from that spiritual rock, and that rock was Jesus. Water out of the rock. God's instructions was explicit. The rock was not again to be smitten. By one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. We must not seek the living among the dead. He is risen. He is glorified. God tells us, speak you unto the rock. Yet Moses prayed. Moses pleaded. But the request was refused. The denial was a vicarious chastisement. We have in the kingdom of God vicarious blessings and vicarious sufferings. For Joseph's sake, the house of Potiphar was blessed. For David's sake, Solomon finished his reign in peace. For Paul's sake, the crew of the doomed vessel escaped. On the other side of this, God was angry with Moses for the Hebrews' sakes. Divine tenderness is displayed even in refusal. The refusal was not wholly from anger, but there was a great mixture of kindness, anger for the sin, and kindness for the man. It is as if God had said, it pains me to impose this chastisement. Nevertheless, it must be done. And if you continue asking me, you will add more pain. Yet compensation for the loss is granted. Prayer is never wholly unsuccessful. A gracious concession is made. Moses had asked to see the land. Moses saw the land, yet his feet did not tread upon it. Without a doubt, I believe that Moses' natural eyesight had been preserved for this particular occasion. When Moses stood on Pisgah's peak, he saw it without the toil of travel, without the peril of the conflict. A crowning kindness is shown in confirming the succession to Joshua. Though the workman is to be removed, the work shall continue. It must have been a solace to the mind of Moses that Joshua should have been accepted in his stead. His cherished purpose shall be accomplished, even though by other hands. The spirit of Moses would survive in Joshua. Being dead, Moses would still speak and act. The body may be dissolved, but the moral courage, the heroic valor, are transmitted to another. I'm going to stop the lesson right here, but I want to ask you a question. Aren't you glad that God has ordained His program in such a manner that when the preacher of the Word dies, the Word lives on? The Word does not die. When the preachers of the Word passes on, the Word remains. When the preachers are weak, His Word remains strong. When the preachers are bound, the Word of God is free. The Word of God is never fettered by the bonds of men. All the wisdom of God, the marvelous wisdom and riches of God, are so unsearchable, past understanding. Thanks be unto God for His love and wisdom. Until tomorrow, may the grace of God be upon you. May His favor shine in your path. May the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto God. We love you.